It was like 30 something. Okay, good morning. This week we are learning Maseches Sukkah, Daf Lamed Tes. The weekly shiur for Maseches Sukkah is sponsored by Yitzweiss CPA. Branch out in a new direction next tax season. And the breakfast is sponsored by the Young Israel. So we are starting off on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Last week we discussed the various halachos that relate to how Hallel was originally recited and how we can learn from the minhagim of Hallel in Rava's time what the original minhagim were for in regards to Hallel. But that had an interesting discussion about Shamea Ka'one as well. And so we are going to finish off that Hallel discussion on the very bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Amar Rava. Lo lema inish baruch haba v'hadar b'shem Hashem. You shouldn't have a hefsek between the phrase baruch haba and b'shem Hashem. Ela baruch haba b'shem Hashem. You should say baruch haba b'shem Hashem all together without separating in between. Skip the parentheses and go to Lamates Amud Aleph. V'amar Rava. Rava also said a similar halacha. Lo lema inish yehesh me rabba v'hadar mevorach. You shouldn't split the phrase Yehei Shmei Rabba with the word Mivarach. Ella Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach Behadade. You should say the whole thing straight through. You should say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach altogether. You shouldn't have a hefsik. It's not going to be clear that the word Mivarach is going on Yehei Shmei Rabba. It won't be clear that the B'Shem Hashem is going on Baruch Haba. And so you should make sure you say everything straight through without having a separation in between. And then Amalei Rav Safra, Moshe Shapir Kamet. Rav Safra said to Rava, he said, Moshe, is that really true? His name is not Moshe, because his name is Rava, obviously. And Rashi points out that Moshe is just a phrase that we refer to as a Gadol Hador. You can just call them Moshe, too. If you forget their name, you can just call them Moshe. And you're putter from with that also, as a good nickname. If you want a nickname, a Gadol Hador, I'm not sure how you would do that. Ela Hasam Vehacha, right? So it's not really true that you can't be mafsik. It's actually okay. Ela Hasam Vehacha, by both of these cases, by Yehesh Mei Rabba and by the earlier case of Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, Asuke Milsahu V'Leis Lan Ba. It's clear that this is the continuation. It's the conclusion of the phrase that you began. And so there's no issue with being mafsik in between. It's clear that even if you have a small hefsik, it's clear that the beginning and the end are meant to go together. It's interesting that the short one-liner about Yehesh Mei Rabba being separated from Mivorach actually relates to a machlokas we had way back when in Tosfos Brachos Daf Gimel. So Brachos Daf Gimel, Tosfos over there discuss what exactly does the phrase Yehesh Mei Rabba Mivorach mean. There's a machlokas, the Machzor Vitri says that the word Rabba is also a tefillah that we're making. So we're taking Hashem's Shem Hashem, Yehesh Mei, and we're praising that Hashem's name should be, number one, it should be Rabba, and number two, it should be Mivorach. Those are both praises that we are davening for, that Hashem's name should be, it should be the complete Shem Hashem, and it should be also blessed as well, that Rabba and Mivorach are both things that we are praising for. And the other pshat that Tosfos gave was that, no, Yehesh Mei Rabba, comma, it's Hashem's great name should be Mivarach. There's only one tefillah here. We're davening that Hashem's name should be Mivarach. So is the word Rabba a description of the Shem Hashem, or is the word Rabba part of our tefillah? And so some point out that this perhaps seems to go in line with the second understanding, because our Gemara keeps the phrase Yehesh Mei Rabba together, and then has the word Mivarach as a separate tefillah, a separate description. So perhaps this is a raya for that second day in Tosfos against the Machzor Vitri, that the word Rabba is actually part of the phrase Yehesh Mei Rabba. It's describing Hashem's name right now, that it is great, and it's not a separate tefillah. So you can look back over there in Brachos Daf Gimel. That's just a nice throwback to that sugya. So the Gemara now continues, we're really quoting from the Mishnah, Malkum Shenagu Lichpo, that we said in our Mishnah that there were certain psukim that would be repeated, they would double them up towards the end of Hallel. Of course, we are familiar with that concept in our recitation of Hallel. So the Gemara says, Tana Rebbe Kofel Badvarim, that Rebbe would be Kofel, he would double up some of the Pesukim that we say towards the end of Hallel. Relazar ben Parta Mosif Badvarim. Relazar ben Parta would add things to Hallel. So my Mosif, does Mosif mean he actually added new Pesukim to Hallel? No, Amar Abaye, Mosif Lichpol Me'odcha Ulamata, that he would double up more things. So the original Shita, Rebbe would be Kofel Badvarim, he'd be Kofel from Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, as we do Ana Hashem Hatzichana, Ana Hashem Hatzichana, and from there until the end of Baruch Habaz and Kehliyata, and Abaye was being Mosif to be Luchpol even from Odcha Kianisani about Hili Yeshua, doubling up all of those as well, of course, as we do. And Rashi points out the reason why we double these things up is because even before the word Odcha, a lot of those phrases already doubled up, right? Sabuni, and Yuen Hashem, Yuen Hashem. There are so many phrases within that original Min HaMetzar that already have duplicated phrases. And it's cool to see that Rashi, things you didn't necessarily even notice before, is already doubled. So perhaps that makes sense to continue that doubling through the end of the Hallel. Moving on, Levarech, Yevarech. Our Mishnah concluded that for those who have the minhag to make a bracha on the Hallel, they should make the bracha. And for those who don't have the minhag, would not make the bracha. This is referring to bracha on Hallel during a regular Yontif. So Amar Abaye clarifies, Lo shanu ela le'acharav, aval lefanav mitzvah levarech. When our Mishnah said that there's some minhagim to say bracha, to not say a bracha, that's referring to a bracha after Hallel. But before Hallel, everyone agrees that you definitely make a bracha because of the famous cloud, the Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvos Kulan, Mevarech Aleihen Over La'asi Yasan. For all mitzvos, you make a bracha on them before you do the Maisa Mitzvah, before you complete the mitzvah. So therefore, obviously, before Hallel, you're going to make a bracha, because you have to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. But there's a different minhagim about the bracha after Hallel. Umay mashma, dehai over, lishna de akdumehu. So who says, how do you know that the word over means to say it before the asiyasan, before the mitzvah? Since when does the word over mean before? So we have a few different proofs. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak dichsiv bayarat achi ma'at derech hakikar bayavor es hakushi. This is when the kushi was sent to David to inform David that Avshalom had been killed, and achi ma'at was running ahead to get ahead of the kushi. Bayavor, he went to get ahead to be before. That's the lashon of akdumi. Abay yomer mehacha the hu abar lefnehem. Abaye says from the pasuk that Yaakov had set up all his family before he greeted Esav, and Yaakov then went in front of his family. He went to be before them. That's also lashon of akdumi. And then third, that's a pasuk describing the Melech HaMashiach that's going to be in front of all of Klal Yisrael, and then Hashem was even in front of him. So three different places where the word over means before. An interesting question to ask is, well, why didn't you just say kodem? Right? Why say the word over lasiasan? Oh, and we have to prove proof that the word over means before. Just say the word that we all know means before. Just say kodem, and you don't have to bring any proofs from Sukkim. So the Ritzvah says that the word kodem la'asiyasam would imply that maybe even way before the mitzvah, just make your brechas ha-mitzvah 5 minutes before you put on tefillin, and then you put on tefillin and 5 minutes later, and that's totally fine because it was kodem. So the word over tells us that it has to be very close to, immediately beforehand, and not over the over, not too much earlier. There's a discussion about why exactly we are required to make a bracha over lasiyasan, make the bracha on the mitzvah before you perform the mitzvah. The Ritva in Pesachim has a very inspiring lashon about how the bracha on the mitzvah is supposed to inspire us and prepare us to do the mitzvah. So don't make the bracha after the mitzvah. Maybe even better than during the mitzvah is to make the bracha beforehand. The Rambam is a very interesting lashon where the Rambam says that kishem that you make a bracha before you eat food, a berachas ha'nenen, so too you also make a bracha on the mitzvah before you perform the mitzvah. So the Rambam links the fact that you make a bracha over lasiyasan by mitzvos, he links that to the fact that you make a bracha before you washed on your mezonos roll, if you washed on your mezonos roll. So what's the link between birchas hanenin and birchas hamitzvah? So the Rav has a yesod by brachos in general, that brachos are meant to be a matir. Right, Zegmara in Brachos Lamed, hey, that before I make the bracha, it's Hashem's food. Once I make the bracha, it becomes mine. The bracha is me asking permission in order to eat this food. And so similarly, perhaps by mitzvos as well, who am I to perform the mitzvos abore? I'm nothing. Are my actions meaningful to Kadosh Baruch Hu that I'm going to do the things that some lofty God asked me to do? So the brachas are a brachas hamatir. It's me asking permission to even be involved in this avodas Hashem. That's the explanation of Rav Soloveitchik. The Ravan has also a very interesting formulation where the Ravan also links it to Berachas Hanenin, and he says that just like you make a bracha before you get hana on food, so too we make a bracha because we're going to get not enjoyment from the mitzvah just because you're going to enjoy the mitzvah, because you get schar from doing the mitzvos, and so similar to making a bracha before the hana on food, we also similarly, not exactly the same, but make a bracha before we're going to enjoy and reap the benefits of our mitzvos. There's also an important machlokas that's discussed about whether if you forgot to make the bracha beforehand, can you make the bracha afterwards? There's a well-known shita of the Or Zarua, that the Or Zarua held that yes, ideally you make the bracha beforehand, but let's say you forgot, then you can make the bracha afterwards, and that's totally, you can catch yourself if you made a mistake.
Would it also have to be right away?
Right, I would think so. Yeah, so it have to be as soon as you finish the mitzvah, not like an hour later. His proof is from the fact that the Gemara says that there's one exception to this rule of Over L'Asi Asan, where you make the bracha afterwards. I think we have this also in Maseches Brachos as well. That's Tvila by a ger. That when we had another discussion of the Til Sinayim. But by Tvila by a ger, the ger can't make the bracha beforehand because he's not Jewish. Before the Tvila, he is not a Jew yet. After the Tvila, only now is he a Jew, so it's impossible to make the bracha beforehand. If it's impossible before, then you can make the bracha afterwards. Says the Or Zarua, you know what else it's impossible to make the bracha beforehand? If you forgot. If you are in the middle of your mitzvah and you're just like, oh my gosh, I forgot to make the bracha beforehand, that's similarly an example of where it's impossible to do it before because you simply did not. And so therefore you'd also be allowed to make the bracha afterwards and that will be okay. That's the shita of the Or Zarua. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no, it has to be beforehand. And that's how we generally assume. But we do say that if you're doing a mitzvah that is nimshach for a period of time. So for example, tefillin, if you forgot to make your bracha on tefillin beforehand, but you're still wearing your tefillin, you're still involved in the mitzvah, then in the middle of the mitzvah, you could still make a bracha. But after the fact, it would be too late because we are not passing like that, Or Zarua. There's a very famous Tosfos. If I had to give a list of famous Tosfos in Maseches Sukkah, this would be on it. Last week's also would be. Last week we had a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos about Shomea Ka'ona, which is also a very important one. This is to be one of the most well-known Tosfos in Maseches Sukkah about how do we perform Over L'Asi Asan by the Bracha of Netilas Lulav. Right, the issue is that we have to make the bracha before we do the mitzvah. And so you'll say, fine, pick up the dalaminim and then make the bracha before you perform the rest of the mitzvah. The problem is we're gonna see in a few weeks, the midah agbe nalvikbe. The second that you pick up the dalaminim, you've already been yotze in the mitzvah. So once you pick it up, it's already too late. But once it maybe would say before you pick it up. Before you pick it up, it's too early. That's over to over. It's already sitting on the table. That's considered too early before the mitzvah. So when it's on the table, it's too early. Once you picked it up, it's too late. So whether you make the brachas ha-mitzvah, on the mitzvah netilas lulav. So Tosfos give essentially four different suggestions as to how to get around this issue. One of them is that there really isn't an issue at all. That Tosfos say that you didn't finish the mitzvah yet because you still have to do all the na'anuim. You're still going to shake during halal, you're going to shake after the fact. And so maybe you could pick it up, make the bracha, and once you do the na'anuim afterwards, then it says if you still did the bracha, over la'asi yasan. And he compares it, this will be had in Maseches Brachos, to washing the tilas yadayim. The tilas yadayim, you make the bracha after you wash. So why is that okay? Several different answers. One of which is because you did not yet dry your hands. And drying your hands is part of the mitzvah, since you still have part of the mitzvah left over to do later, so you can make the bracha even once you've picked it up, because you have not yet shaked the dalaminim. Tosfos also suggests perhaps pick up just the lulav, make the bracha, and then pick up the esrog. Once you've picked up the lulav, then you haven't done the mitzvah yet because you're not holding the other minim. Then you pick up the esrog. The most well-known is what we most of us actually do. Tosfos suggests flipping over the esrog. The mitzvah of dal minim is to hold them kederach the kedilasan in the appropriate direction. Once you flip over the esrog, you can get around that issue, and you won't do the mitzvah yet. You say the bracha, and you flip it over. Therefore, your bracha was immediately over la'asi yasan.
Is the issue of drying the hands also similar to the tilas yadayim? And that the fact is, when we wash our hands, that's already the mitzvah, but we say, well, it's fully completed once we actually dry it. When you do the tilas yadayim, literally, like that is the hatalah. So the question is, because we're making the bracha generally, we don't make the bracha before, we're making when we're drying our hands. Is that because the drying is the completion of the mitzvah?
Right, so that's some do make the bracha beforehand. I think Rav Shechter famously does do that. But Tosfos assume in Maseches Brachos and over here that the drying is part of the mitzvah, and therefore I can make the bracha after the netilah because the drying is also part of the mitzvah of netilah. Not a separate mitzvah, but it's still part of the mitzvah. The comparison to us, though, by the na'anuim is a chiddush, as Tosfos point out, because the na'anuim, we emphasized last week, the na'anuim are not the ikar mitzvah. They are the shiare mitzvah. So I still have some stuff left over to do, but that's not the real mitzvah at all. That's just like the extras. So that's a chiddush to say over here. But that's the connection to Netilas Yadayim. And then finally, Tosfos also give an answer, maybe using negative kavana. that maybe I should have kavana. I'll pick up them my dalamina like I normally would, pick them up like normal, but I'll think in my mind, I do not want to be yotze in the mitzvah. I'll make the bracha, and now I'll have kavana to be yotze in the mitzvah. So perhaps I have kavana, I have control over whether I am not or am mekayim the mitzvah right now. Have kavana shelolatze, it's kavana to not be yotze the mitzvah, and then make the bracha, and you can make the bracha, therefore, before you're mekayim the mitzvah. Right? If you assume mitzvos trichos kavana, then this absolutely makes a lot of sense. Mitzvos require kavana, so I have the power to have negative kavana and say I'm not being yotze the mitzvah. And so that would work perfectly fine. Tosfos will say, perhaps even if you hold mitzvos ein trichos kavana, that mitzvos don't need kavana, but still if you have negative kavana, kavana not to be yotze, you still have that power within yourself. There is a shita of the Ra'ah, the Beis Yosef quotes the Ra'ah, that the Ra'ah says, no, if you hold mitzvos ain't trichos kavana, mitzvos don't require kavana, that means even if you're jumping and screaming and saying, I don't have kavana, it doesn't matter, because the mitzvos don't require kavana. So mitzvah, you're yotze the mitzvah even against your will, according to the Ra'ah, but Tosfos seem to disagree. Halacha l'maisa, what we do, this is what we'll finish up. So halacha l'maisa, so we all flip it over. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the flipping it over and also quotes the pick up just the lulav and not the esrog eitza. The Gra prefers the negative kavana eitza. The Gra prefers to pick up like normal, but have in mind that you don't want to be yotze. I saw that in the Kovetz Halachos of Shmuel Kamenetsky also says that ideally, or in theory, he prefers that method also of negative kavana, but it's not good in terms of public practice. Imagine you don't know the halacha, and you walk into a shul, and you see everybody just picks up the dalaminim, they say the bracha, and they start shaking like normal. You would think that you could just pick them up and start shaking. You can't tell that everyone is thinking in their minds, I have kavana not to be yotze the mitzvah, bracha ta Hashem, making, and then making their bracha. It's not clear, it's not nicker to the entire room. You see everybody flipping it over, so now, of course, you know exactly what you're supposed to do. So perhaps that the issue that the Taz points out, that since negative kavana isn't recognizable to everybody, so that's not perhaps the best etza in terms of public policy, but the flipping the esrog and the other, which are clearly recognizable, are perhaps better etzos. So let's move on to the next. It's a short daf, so we have time to throw an extra step. The Mishnah is going to discuss the halachos of Shemitah, which is just not relevant anymore. We were so close to this actually being like a cool guy talking about like sukkah, like not even close to Tishrei anymore. Yeah. But we're going to discuss how, and we already discussed in the shul when we got our otzar based in Esrogim, about how the mitzvah of Dalaminim is impacted by the halachos of Shemitah. Of course, we know that every 7 years there are various halachos about that impact the land. Number one, which is not our topic, is that there are isurim in terms of how you work the land and how you harvest the land, certain things you can do and cannot do. And number two is that once you actually, once fruits are growing during the Shemitah year, those fruits have a certain level of Kedusha. And therefore, you have to treat them in a certain way. Number one, the Torah says la'achla, you're supposed to eat these fruits, and the Ramban says that perhaps there's actually a mitzvah to eat peiros shvius. So we're going to say there are so many rules about how to handle fruits that have, or you know, not really fruits, anything, produce that has kedusha, and so people want to kind of shy away and say, I don't know the halacha, so I'm just going to, I'll take the stuff that grew in chutz la'aretz. It's actually a mitzvah, according to the Ramban, to eat and be involved in these mitzvahs, so perhaps we shouldn't be too scared, or shouldn't have been too scared, but should embrace them to be mekayim this mitzvah. So number one, kedusha shvius is a mitzvah to eat it, but number two, we said the Gemara says la achla the lo lehefsit, that you cannot waste produce that was from the Shemitah year, which is relevant lamaisa for Havdalah, for example. If you have wine that's from the Shemitah year, so for Havdalah, usually we'll pour our wine and we'll let it overflow a bit. That is wasting the Shemitah wine. Or if you want to pour some wine over to put out the candle, that would be a hefsit of wasting the Shemitah produce. So for Shemitah wine, you would not do that. For Havdalah, because that would be a hefsid, you cannot waste the Shemitah produce. You should eat it, and if you're done, you can, you know, treat it nicely, put it in a baggie, put it in a separate pach, as people do. So that's number two. There's a mitzvah to eat, number one. Number two, there's an isser to be mafsid. And number three, which is the ikker for our sugya today, there's an isser schora. There's an isser to do commerce, to do business, to buy and sell various Shemitah produce. That's going to be the bulk of our discussion today. And so for our interests, for Dalaminim, so there's no issue of using a Shemitah Esrog for the mitzvah, but the issue is, how do you get it? How do you go around buying it? How does someone go around selling these items during the Shemitah year? So let's see the Mishnah. The Mishnah, just to clarify, the Mishnah is talking about literally on the Shemitah year. For us, Lameisa, usually the Shemitah Shailas come up the year after Shemitah. because your Dalet Minim, they gather them, they collect them so early on. So yeah, in Tishrei, the year after Shemitah, it's not Shemitah anymore, but all of those Dalet Minim were collected during the Shemitah year. So for us, the Shemitah Dalet Minim Shaila has come up like we had this year, which is the year post Shemitah year. But our Mishnah is assuming during the Shemitah year. It's Tishrei, and it's you're halfway into Tishrei, halfway into the Shemitah year, and you have stuff maybe that was just collected during the Shemitah year. So how's that going to impact your Dalet Minim? So the Mishnah says, Halokeach Lulav Mechavero Bishviyis. Let's say you want to purchase your Lulav, which is like the whole Lulav set. You want to purchase it from an Amma Aretz. So Gemara is going to explain, an Amma Aretz who isn't careful about halachos. You want to purchase from him your Dalet Minim during the Shemitah year. So how do you go about doing that? So Nosin Lo Esrog B'matana. The guy should give you the Esrog for free. That sounds awesome. He should give you the Esrog for free. Why? Because you are not allowed to purchase that Esrog during the Shemitah year. You can't do business with Shemitah produce. Our Mishnah is assuming, which we're going to discuss later on today, that this is only relevant to the Esrog, that the Esrog has Shemitah issues, but the Lulav, perhaps, and the other things do not have any issues for Shemitah. And so the Esrog has to be given to you as a matana for free because you're not allowed to purchase it because, as we said, there is an Isser Schorah, there is an Isser to do business with Shemitah produce. The Gemara asks, what if he's not an idiot? Lo ratza litin l'matana mahu. He doesn't want to give it to you for free because that's ridiculous. It's a very valuable commodity. So then what do you do? So Amar Rav Huna mavli ale demei esrog belulav. If he doesn't want to give it to you for free, then you should just pay for it in the price of the lulav. So let's say the esrog costs $100 and the lulav costs $100. So I'll pay $200 for the lulav and that's going to count my esrog as well. So you're not going to directly pay for peros shvius. I'm not paying for this shmita esrog. I'm just paying a lot of money for my lulav, and that's a way of circumventing the issue of doing schora with shmita produce. Maridus wants to be explicit now. The lace of Le Behedja. Why exactly can you not just explicitly buy this esrog? What exactly is the issue behind buying Shemitah esrogin? So the Gemara answers, Lefi she'ein mosrin demei peros shvius la'am ha'aretz. Because you're not allowed to give Shemitah money to an am ha'aretz. What does that mean? Shemitah money, we're going to discuss, I think, more next week, that if you purchase a Shemitah fruit with your, I keep saying fruit, it's really anything, any Shemitah produce, if you purchase Shemitah produce with a dollar, so you purchase an apple during the Shemitah year, so you just got an apple that has Shemitah Kedusha, and he gets your dollar, that dollar also has Kedusha, and has to be treated in a certain way, and you should, right, the best Eitzah is if you have Shemitah money, you should buy some food, and then eat that with Kedusha Shvius, because that money also takes on Kedusha from being part of that transaction, and that's the concern that the Gemara is referring to, that I'm going to do business with an Amma Aretz. A guy does not know halacha so well. He wants to sell me a Shemitah Esrog. So fine, he'll give me the Esrog. I'll give him $100. But he doesn't know the halacha, that those $100 now have Kedusha and have to be treated a certain way. And he's not going to know the halacha. He's going to do something inappropriate. And that's going to be my fault. That's going to be an Isser of Lifnei Iver. I'm handing over Shemitah money that has Kedusha Shvius, to a guy who I very can easily assume is not going to know how to treat it appropriately. And therefore, that's the Isser of Mosrin Deme Peros Shvius La'ama Aretz. You can't give Shemitah money to an Amha Aretz. Because the problem of Lifnei Iver, he's going to misuse it. What exactly is our concern? How is he going to misuse this Shemitah money? That's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi explained that when it comes to doing business, the Shemitah produce, it actually is totally mutter to go and sell your Shemitah Esrogim in the market. The only issue is that money you get is going to have Kedusha, and you have to use up that money during the Shemitah year. Rashi describes how that money has to be, there's a chiyuv biur, you have to use that money up during the Shemitah. You can't say, I'm going to do business and I'm going to put that money in my pockets, I'm going to put it into a bank account, I'm going to store and make a profit off that money. You can sell your stuff that has Shemitah Kedusha, but you have to use that money up during the year. And that's our concern. The Sama Aretz is not going to realize that he has to use this money up. He's going to keep it and store it. And that's the Isser, according to Rashi, of what we are concerned about. The Sama Aretz is not going to use up the money like he's supposed to. He's going to instead, put it away for the future. Tosfos point out, no. As we explained, there are several rules about how to treat Kedusha money, and our concern is he's not going to know where he's allowed to spend this money. Like you're supposed to use this money and easiest thing is just to buy some food and treat that food with Kedusha, and then you don't have any issues. But if he's going to use this money, he's going to use it to buy land, he's going to use it to buy a nice new shirt. That's not how you're supposed to use Kedusha money. So Tosfos say the issue is that there are certain halachos about what you can spend that money on, and therefore we're concerned he's not going to use that money for the right things. So according to Rashi, the concern is he's going to have this Shemitah money, and you're supposed to use it up, and he's not going to use it up, he's going to keep it in his pockets. And for Tosfos, the issue is that he's supposed to use it for certain things, and he's going to instead use them for other things that are inappropriate. Two different issues. Either way, this comes down to lifnei iver, that I'm not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of somebody. I can't give the Amma Aretz money, which I know he's going to make a mistake with. So that is what the Gemara points to as the isser of doing, of buying an esrog during Shemitah. The question is, why didn't the Gemara just say la'achla v'lo l'schora? Right, we discussed how there's an isser to do business. There's apparently some sort of isser to do business with Shemitah produce. So why doesn't the Gemara just say you can't buy an esrog during Shemitah? Because the Torah says it's usser to do business with Shemitah produce. You're not allowed to buy and sell Shemitah produce. Why does the Gemara say, oh, because if you buy, then the money has Kedusha, and you're going to give it to a guy who doesn't know how to use it. Yeah, but isn't there just an inherent, doesn't the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, says, la'achla v'lo l'schora? Isn't there an inherent isser schora, an isser of doing business with Shemitah produce? So Tosfos asked this question. Rashi does not. It seems that Rashi assumes that there is no actual isser with doing business with Shemitah produce, just the isser of storing the money for later. But Tosfos say that there are various ways to do this beheter. So yes, there is an isser schora. There are ways where if you do business, if you're going to harvest your fruits and then sell them in the market, that would be usser, but there are also ways of doing it beheter. So Tosfos suggests perhaps to harvest it yourself and then give it to somebody else to sell, that will be a way of getting around the issue. Or if you harvest it for yourself and you're like, oh, this is way too much stuff, so now I have extra, so maybe that you could sell according to Tosfos. Also, somebody showed him say that the only isser of schora is if I buy produce and then sell it to somebody else. But if I harvest it and then sell it to somebody else, that's actually also totally beheter. So Tosfos essentially are saying that yes, there is an isser schora of doing business with Shemitah produce, but there are some ways that are mutter and some ways that are usser. So our Gemara isn't bothered by it because our Gemara assumes you're doing it in a mutter way. So that's once all the dust settles in the sugya, if you want to figure out how can I do business with my Shemitah produce, you're a farmer in Eretz Yisrael. You want to know how you can sell your fruit and vegetables in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you have to contend with? So there are two issues to deal with here in terms of how you can sell that fruit and that vegetables in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, as our Gemara said, that the money from that transaction is going to have kedusha. Perhaps as an isser of lifnei iver to give that money to a guy who doesn't know how to use it appropriately. Number two, as Tosfos point out, there's also the isser of schora inherently. There's an isser inherently to do business with Shemitah produce. So all the heterim that we are familiar with in terms of how we go about doing anything with Shemitah produce have to get around these two issues. Number one, the money's going to have Kedusha, and that's lifnei iver to give that to somebody. Number two, there is an inherent isser of schora of doing business with Shemitah produce. So for example, the couple of heterim that we are familiar with from our discussions in the shul for on Sukkis. So number one, heter mechira, not to get into the issues of whether it's okay or not okay, but heter mechira, the concept is that I sell my land to a guy, and so now, assuming that a guy's land does not have kedusha, so now this field does not have Shemitah fruits, it has regular fruits, because it's not my land, it's a guy's land. So the heter mechira makes it that this fruit does not even have any kedusha. So number one, is there an isser, because I'm going to sell these fruits in the market, and now that money is going to have Kedusha also? No, it's not. These fruits don't have Kedusha. That money does not have Kedusha. And number two, is there an Isser Schora of inherently doing business with Shemitah fruits? Yeah, but this is not a Shemitah fruit. Heter Mechira, if you hold of it, gets around the issue of selling Shemitah fruit, because this fruit is not considered Shemitah fruit, and therefore the money is not considered Shemitah money. The question is, for those who don't hold of the Heter Mechira, can they buy Heter Mechira produce? Which many of the poskim say that they are allowed to. They can. And I, so if you, it's hard to think about it. From my perspective, so you're a farmer. You rely on the heter mechira. So according to you, your fruits are not Shemitah fruits. But I hold that they are Shemitah fruits. And I'm going to do business with you. And let's say the assumption is that there's only an Isser for you to be doing business with these fruits that have Kedusha. You think there's no Kedusha, but I think that there is Kedusha. So isn't it Lifnei Iver that I'm causing you to violate the Isser of Sechora? Or perhaps the from the money, the issue, you think that your fruits don't have Kedusha, but I think that they do. And so I'm going to give you money which you think has no Kedusha, but I think that that money does have Kedusha. So is that a problem of Lifnei Iver? So the Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that it's not a problem of Lifnei Iver because you are following your halachic posik and your halachic opinion. So yes, I think what you're doing is totally usur and not permitted, but you're following your posikim who hold to the heter mechira. That's not called Lifnei Iver to give somebody else a stumbling block if he has reliable sources that hold that it's not a stumbling block. That's for the Hetem Mechira. Number two, for Otzer Beistin, that's what we relied on for our shul. So Otzer Beistin is that I'm going to, let's say I'm a field owner, I'm a farmer, so I'm going to transfer ownership of my field onto Beistin, and then Beistin's going to appoint a shaliach, maybe even me, to harvest the fruits, and then we're going to go sell them in the market. The very important yesod, which Rabbi Glasser discussed, is that when you pay for your Otzer Beistin fruits or esrogim, you're not paying for the food, you're paying for the labor that brought, that harvested that esrog, that brought the esrog in the truck to the marketplace. You're not paying for the fruit, you're paying for the labor. So let's go back to our two Isurim to contend with. Number one, is the money going to have Kedusha Shvius? The answer is no, the money that I use to buy these fruits is not going to have Kedusha Shvius because I'm not using this money to buy Shemitah fruits. I'm using this money to pay for the labor that some guy did the work of getting these Shemitah fruits from the farm to the store. So it's not an isser of the money becoming, having Kedusha, and you're going to give this money to an Amma Aretz who doesn't know how to use it. It's not an isser of Schora of Peros Shvius either, because I'm not doing business with Peros Shvius. I'm paying for the work that the guy did. I'm not paying any money for those Shemitah fruits. So there's no isser Schora, and there's no isser of giving somebody money that has a Shemitah Kedusha to it.
Is there any element, though, of Hefgar in terms of just, like, you know, when it comes to, like, feeding your animals, your pet, do you also have to have the amount outside that would be available before you can actually feed your pet inside, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Does that apply as well as we're talking about Schira, that amount that we have to leave, you have to vote Tefkar?
I think that still does apply. I think that, yeah, there's a, you're talking about the beer?
Yeah.
Right, so that beer still is a separate thing you have to contend with, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Okay, so let's see back into the Gemara. So the Gemara refers to, as we said, there's two issues with doing business with Shemitah fruits. One is not on our Gemara. That's the Isser Schora of, there's an inherent Isser of doing business with Shemitah fruits. Number two, what our Gemara does deal with, forget the inherent issue. Let's get around the issue of buying and selling Shemitah fruits. But there's a problem of, this money from the transaction is going to have Kedusha. I can't give money that has Kedusha Shvius to an Amma Aretz because he's not going to know how to use it. And how do you know that is a concern? The Tanya says in the Braisa, Ein Mosrin Demei Peru Shvius La'amha Aretz Yoser Mi Mazon Shalosh Seudos. You're not allowed to give Shemitah money that has Kedusha Shvius. You can't give that to an Amma Aretz more than 3 meals worth. Rashi explains, if it's 3 meals worth, let's say it's a Friday, you give him 3 meals worth, he's not going to save that money up for later. He's going to use that money to buy his meals for Shabbos. So on the Erev Shabbos, 3 meals would be a mutter amount of money to give him. And therefore, throughout the entire week, low plug, you can always give him 3 meals worth of money. But more than that would be a problem. That's why our Mishnah says you can't buy the Esrog from Shemitah, because you can't give more than 3 meals worth. Ve'im Masar, let's say you made a mistake, and you gave this Am HaAretz a lot of Shemitah money. So what do you do? Yomar Hare Maos Halalu Yehu Mechulalin Al Peros Sheyesh Li Besoch Beisi. You gave this Am HaAretz money that has Kedusha Shvius, so you have to try to fix the problem. And you declare that the Kedusha that's on this money that I gave to the Am HaAretz is going to be removed from the money, and it's instead going to be chal on fruits that are in my house. Ubava ochlan b'Kedusha Shvius, and then I'll just eat the fruits in my house with Kedusha Shvius. It's a bit of a chiddush. Tosfos point out on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, it's a bit of a chiddush to say that the money that's in somebody else's rishus, I have the ability halachically to say that the money in somebody else's pocket, the kedusha goes off of his money and goes on to my fruits. If it's my money in my pocket, then I can definitely say that the kedusha from my money should go on to my apple. But from his money should go to my apple? That's a chiddush of our Gemara, which perhaps does or does not work. See the bottom Tosfos on the previous.
It's like saying the money in your pocket belongs to me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So exactly. Yeah. So that's definitely the svara. If you hold that this is halakhically permitted, that I'm allowed to take kedusha off of somebody else's stuff, if that's halakhically effective, then the reason why you're allowed to do that is because of zacha alam shlo b'fanav. But if you halakhically, concretely, I'm not allowed. It doesn't work if I say that his money has no kedusha. So perhaps our gemara enachinami doesn't actually work, but it's a knas, it's a penalty for you that you should have extra fruits at home that have kedusha because you acted inappropriately. So, but the Gemara continues, Bamed dvar mamurim, when are you allowed to, 3 meals worth, you're allowed to buy from an ama aretz a small amount, belokeach min hamufgar, only if you're buying fruits from a field that was declared hefker. Ava belokeach min hamishumar, if it's a field that was not declared hefker, afila bekechati iser aser. If it's a field that was not declared hefker, then even a small amount, you're not allowed to buy any produce that was mishumar. This is also a huge machlokas rishonim between Rashi and Tosfos over here about whether, we know there's a halacha, if you're a field owner, you're a farmer, there's a halacha, you have to declare your field as hefker, as ownerless. Let's say he didn't do it. Let's say the farmer did not declare his field as hefker. Can I still eat those fruits? Is there an iser to eat peiros shvius from a guy who was not mafkir his field? Maybe he guarded his field and he gave me a gift for free. But this guy wasn't following the halacha appropriately. Is there an iser on me to eat fruits that were mishumar, that were not declared hefker? So Tosfos say yes. Quotes Taras Kohanim, a medrash that says mefurish that yeah, fruits are mishumar. That would be an absolute iser for you to consume. Rashi seems to say no. Rashi seems to say that there's no inherent issue with mishumar, with eating fruit from a farmer who wasn't mafgir his things. But Rashi explains along the lines of our previous Gemara, the Shach Levataria was all discussing, I'm going to give money to an ama aretz who doesn't keep halacha appropriately. Do I have to be concerned? I'm going to give money that has kedusha to an ama aretz, maybe he's not going to use it appropriately. So the Gemara is now saying, if he's the kind of guy who doesn't, he's not mafkir his field at the beginning of the Shemitah year, so he's also probably the kind of guy who's going to use this money inappropriately. So the fact that he was not mafkir gives us reason to assume that he's not going to treat the money appropriately, and that's why you can't give him even a dime of money that has kedusha, because clearly he is chashud to not treat that money appropriately. Just quickly, this really also comes up, this shaila of mishumar really comes up for that same thing we're discussing about where I'm going to buy heter mechira produce if I personally don't hold of the heter mechira. So yes, you have your heterim that you are working the land because you sold it to a guy, but according to me, that sale is not effective. You were working your own land and you were guarding up and fencing. You weren't mafkir the fruits that, according to me, that sale didn't work, and that was real fruit that has kedusha, and you were going against the halacha. So perhaps if you don't hold of the heter mechira, there's a reason to say that this case of mishumar would actually come up. But lemaisa, we are making about that shaila. After all, it's machlokas Rashi Tosfos over here. According to Rashi, mishumar is mutter. Also, the Het Mechira, according to many, does work. Also, Shmita Rosh Banazeh is the Rabbanan. A lot of different kulas about why Lamaisa Mishumar is not actually a concern, but that's where it would come up for a guy who doesn't hold of the Heter Mechira. Let's finish the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Masiv Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes asks, Umina Mufgar Gimel Seudos Vesulo, is that true that if you're buying fruits that were, produce that was declared hefker, that I could only buy 3 seudos, right? Questioning our assumption that you can't do too much business with an ama aretz with Shemitah produce. Is that true? There are many, but it says in the Mishnah, Hapegam v'hayarbuzin, v'hashitim v'chalaglugos, v'hakuzbar shebaharim, v'hakarpas shebenaharos, v'hagargir shel efer. You click up all these different, what they mean, asparagus and different types of herbs and, I don't know, cress and things that I don't know what they mean anyway. So these different things that the root defining quality of all these things is that they are typically declared hefker. These are things that are not chashut to people, and therefore they're typically hefker. So they are peturim min ha-maiser. Things that are hefker are pater from maiser, as Rashi quotes the source, uba ha-levi ki ein lo chelek v'nacha la'imach. That you only have a chiyuv to give maiser to things that the levi wouldn't have had rights to otherwise. If it's hefker, then the levi does have rights to it, so it'll be pater from maiser, it's exeris ha-kasuv. And also, v'nikhen mikol adam b'shvias. You can purchase those hefker fruits from on Shviyas, and it sounds like any amount, even more than three seudos, lefisha ein keyote behen benishmar, because they are typically declared hefker. If it's hefker, I can buy any amount of them, it seems, not only three meals. So Gemara answers, who most of lava, who mefarikla? He asked the question and he answers it, bikdei manashanu, that he only meant that you can purchase three meals worth, only amount for food, for sustenance, but you cannot go buying more than three meals worth because of our various concerns. He's not going to use that money appropriately. That's what it said at the end of that Mishnah. My mashma dahai man lishna de mizoni hu. Who says that the word man means mizonos? Because Nebuchadnezzar prepared them food, and it says the word vayaman. We see the word man means food. Maritz Chayas asks, I have a more simple base because we have the man in the Torah was called man. So I think some say that word man is like what? So it's not necessarily a food word. Maritz Chayas says, no, the word man also is a food word, and that's why that could have also been a pretty easy proof to get to. Gemara asks, we've assumed in our Mishnah that the only problem for Shemitah is the Esrog, but not the Lulav. The Gemara wants to know, Ihachi Lulav Nami, why isn't there a concern of buying a Lulav during the Shemitah year? Why only an Esrog? So the Gemara answers, Lulav Bar Shishis HaNichnas L'Shviyasu. This is a Lulav from year 6. This is a year 6 Lulav. So of course there's no Kedusha on this Lulav because it's from last year. But the Esrog was a lesser from this year. That's why we have such a concern for the Esrog, but not for the Lulav. The Gemara asks simply, Ihachi Esrog Nami Bashishis, Hanachnasas Lishviyasi. But to say the Lulav is from year 6, the Esrog also maybe is from year 6. Let's say that works for Esrog and Lulav as well. So the Gemara answers, Esrog Basar Lakita Azlinan. The Esrog goes by when it was plucked, when it was harvested. And the Lulav goes by from an earlier period. So just a quick background for this halacha, as we, I guess, are nearing the end over here. So there's an important chiluk between fruits and vegetables when it comes to Shemitah, in terms of what's the deciding factor, whether something is a Shemitah fruit or a year 6 fruit, or a Shemitah vegetable or a year 6 vegetable. Vegetables go by Lakita. Vegetables go by when they were harvested, when they were plucked from the ground. So if it was plucked last year, then it's a year 6 vegetable. I don't care that you have it now in the Shemitah year. It was plucked last year. It's definitely going to be a Shemitah issue. But as you get to, like, I don't know, Cheshvan Kislev, early on in the Shemitah year, some of the things you're going to see in the store were harvested in Tishrei or Cheshvan. That's going to have Kedusha, and that would have Kedusha Shviyas for a vegetable. It goes by when it was picked. For a fruit, though, it goes Basar Chanata, which means simply that it's when the fruit started to take shape, to take form, when it started to grow, to blossom. So it's not by when you picked it, it goes by when it actually took form. And so for fruits, when you're in Tishrei, Chesvan, Kislev, Teves, early on in the Shemitah year, everything you're going to see there took form in year 6. So the issues of Shemitah fruits really come up as an issue towards the second half of the Shemitah year, and even early in year 8. Because for fruits, it goes by the Chanata, when it grew, when it started to blossom, and vegetables go by when they were plucked.
Is that because vegetables only good, like I do a vegetable garden. It's good for that year. Then afterwards, it's gone. It's the bug where the tree is a permanent, it's an enduring thing. So it's producing every year, as opposed to something that's just some one shot deal, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. It could be that's part of the tam behind it. I think the Gemara Shana has a Xeris Hakasavs where it darshins the rules of why a vegetable should be different from a fruit.
Some vegetables just grow automatically, like asparagus.
There are a few things. Right,
just cut that and parsley and.
Yeah,
you don't take the whole plant down. You just cut it and it keeps growing.
Right. Yeah. So we said fruits go by when they blossom, and vegetables go by when you pluck them. If I asked you a very simple question, is an esrog a fruit or a vegetable? It's got to be a fruit. Pre-Eitz Hadar. It's right there in the pasuk. It's got to be a fruit. The Gemara assumes, as we're gonna question in a second, the Gemara assumes that an esrog is like a vegetable. Because the Gemara Shoshana, when it explains the chilek between fruits and vegetables, says vegetables are things that you have to water. You have to have irrigation. Fruits are things that on the tree, they just go from the rainfall. And as we explained several times already, esrogim only grow near water. That's part of the, right, pre-Eitz Hadar is Lashon Idur, which is like the Greek word for water, the Gemara said, on Lamed Hay. So esrogim have to be near water. Therefore, they're more similar to vegetables. And perhaps they should be in the vegetable category. And therefore, esrog basar lakita azlinan. The esrog is going to go basar lakita. So for our esrog and our lulav, so the lulav is not a fruit, but it's like a tree, it's an ilan, and therefore the lulav is going to go by the chanata, so you're early on in the Shemitah year, but this lulav is really from last year, it started to grow last year. But your esrog goes out when you plucked it, and so maybe this guy plucked it on Tom Gedalia, right? He plucked his esrog during the Shemitah year, and so that's why the esrog is the thing that we have to deal with, but the lulav is not. Let's finish up with this next question. The Gemara asks, is that really true that an esrog goes basar lekita? It's like a vegetable for these halachos. V'ha bein rav Gamliel or bein rav Eliezer le'inyan shvius esrog basar chanata azlinan. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar both assume that when it comes to Hilchos Shemitah, an esrog does not go by when it was picked like a vegetable. It goes by Basar Chanata, when it blossomed like a fruit. Ditznan, as it says in the Mishnah, esrog shave le'ilan begimel drachim uleyerek bederech echad. An esrog is like a fruit for some halachos and like a vegetable for other halachos. Shave le'ilan begimel drachim le'arla ulerevai uleshvius. It's like a fruit in that there's arla, right? So arla is that fruits during the first 3 years are azar bahana, and esrog is a fruit. And esrog can have the halachas of arla. We even had that. And esrog shall arla can use it for the mitzvah or not. Esrogim do have hadinim of arla. Also revai. So arla is the first 3 years there's an iser hana. Revai is at the fourth year. There's also an iser. You have to eat those fruits specifically in Yerushalayim. And that also only applies to fruits. And esrog is a fruit. It also has revai. And also the shvius, meaning mefurish, that an esrog is like a fruit for shmita, and that it goes basar chanata when it grew, when it blossomed, and not when you picked it. Uliyerek baderech echad shebishas likitaso isuro divirem gamliel. The only place that we say an esrog is like a vegetable, that it goes by when you plucked it, and not when it started to blossom, is in regards to meiser. That you have to know which year for meiser it is a part of, because as we know, there is various different types of Meiser. In year 1 and year 2, for example, we have Meiser Sheni. In year 3, you have Meiser Ani. So I have to know if this Esrog is a year 2 Esrog or a year 3 Esrog, to know which Meiser has to take off, if it's Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani. So for Meiser years, it goes Basar Lakita. But for Shemitah, whether it's in the Shemitah year or not, that goes Basar Chanata. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Esrog Shava Le'ilan Lechol Davar. And Rabbi Eliezer, the other Shita, also agrees that an Esrog is like an Ilan Lechol Davar, and Kol Shekein for Shemitah, that the esrog is going to go basar chanata. Take one more minute just to get to the end of this idea. To have Rachmanis on the next Maggid Shir, to have to start in the middle of an Inyan. So the Gemara answers, right? So our question was, isn't it clear that everybody holds that an esrog goes basar chanata? It goes by when it grew, not when you picked it. So right now, this esrog in the beginning of the Shemitah year is definitely okay. So Gemara answers, our Mishnah, hu da amar ki hai tana, is going like the following tana. The Tanya says in the Braisa, amar av Yosi, av tolmis heid mishum chamisha zakenim, av tolmis was meyed, that an esrog achar lakita lemeiser, that an esrog goes by when it was picked in regards to meiser. For Rabu Seinu, our Mishnah is like the Rabu Seinu, nimnu beusha, they voted in usha, va'amru bein lemeiser, bein leshvius. That even when it comes to shvius, the esrog also goes basar lakita. Gemara also clarifies, shvius man dachar shmei, why is it the Ravana mentioning Shemitah if the first Shita that he quoted in this Braisa didn't mention Shemitah? So chasuri maksav achikani, no, the first Shita also mentioned Shemitah. This is how the Braisa should have read. Esrog achar lakita lemeiser v'achar chanata l'shvius. The first Shita holds that an esrog, when it comes to Shemitah, goes basar chanata. For Abu Seinu nimnu be'usha, the Abu Seinu clarified, no, v'amru esrog basar lakita bein lemeiser bein l'shvius, period. The Rabu Seinu said no, that when it comes to Shemitah, the esrog goes basar lakita, and that's who our Mishnah was going like. So the lulav is definitely okay, because the lulav goes by when it grew, and this is, we're in Tishrei of the Shemitah year. This lulav definitely grew and blossomed last year, so it's year 6 lulav. The esrog, though, according to the Rabu Seinu, goes by when it was picked, and so therefore the esrog would have kedusha shvius, whereas the lulav would not. That's why our Mishnah is dealing with the lulav and not with the esrog, and not with the lulav. So we discussed today some conclusions of last week's discussion. We discussed overlas yasan, the implications for mitzvahs in general, and for lulav specifically, and we discussed Shemitah, the Isser Schora by Shemitah, and how that impacts Dalad Minim, and why it's only an issue for the Esrog in our Mishnah, but not for the lulav.